Today in review, Print Speaking to the Blind, celebrating 40 years of audio newspaper production. Welcome to this week's edition of the Kirkintilloch Herald podcast, recorded at the Bishop Briggs Media Centre by our amazing volunteers. You can get in touch with us via Facebook, Twitter or Instagram using @QNReview. That is @CUEANDREVIEW. You can also contact us directly by emailing information@QNReview.com. That is information@CUEANDREVIEW.com. Or by calling 0141 772 3976. That's 0141 772 3976.
This week's podcast, date Wednesday the 13th of March 2024, is read to you by Alan, Corey, Hunter, Ian, Philip and Rebecca. Have your say on City Deal. Consultation is taking place to help guide future improvements along a busy route through Bishop Briggs and North Glasgow. Eastern Bartonshire Council is asking residents, businesses and groups to help steer the A803 Corridor Improvement Project. It's part of the Council's £34.88 million Place and Growth Programme, supported by £50 million each from the UK and Scottish governments through the Glasgow City Region City Deal. The project, which also involves Glasgow City Council and Strathclyde Partnership for Transport, SPT, aims to create active travel links and prioritise buses to better connect key retail, regeneration, health and education locations. In 2022, the Council consulted on the main issues and opportunities for the route. Views are now being sought on the emerging options. You can access information, including designs, and have your say via an interactive story map. Visit www.easternbarton.gov.uk/A803-stage2. Consultation is open until April the 21st and, in addition, a drop-in event will take place on Thursday, March 21st at Bishop Briggs War Memorial Hall. This will run between 1pm and 7pm and is a great opportunity for people to view options and ask questions. Council leader Gordon Lowe told the Herald, "We need your views to help guide potential improvements involving the A803, a busy route which connects North Glasgow to Bishop Briggs and beyond. The project aims to progress sustainable and active travel links, boost the local economy and employment opportunities, improve air quality and give everyone more choice in how they travel. It will also help to reconnect communities currently severed by a busy main road. All feedback received will be used to help inform final design work. Please get involved if you can. We want to hear the views of communities served by the corridor to ensure the project develops in line with their needs. Meetings are also taking place with key stakeholders and local accessibility groups." Alan Moir of SPT said, "This is a great opportunity for people to input their views to help create a better environment along a strategically important corridor, better connecting people to their communities, businesses, facilities and vital services. If you have any queries, please contact the project team by email, citydeal@easternbarton.gov.uk, that's citydeal@easternbarton.gov.uk. And that article was read by me, Ian. This week in history. March 15th, 1956. My Fair Lady opened on Broadway, starring Julie Andrews and Rex Harrison. The title was adapted from the Cockney pronunciation of Mayfair. On this day last year, New research suggested having high levels of caffeine in your blood may lower the amount of body fat you carry and reduce the risk of type 2 diabetes. March 16, 1802. The United States Military Academy at West Point was established. On this day last year, the Duchess of Sussex would contribute a lemon olive oil cake recipe to a new charity cookbook. It was announced. March 17, 1921. The first birth control clinic was set up in London by Dr. Marie Stopes. March 18, 1975. The Cabinet decided by 16 votes to 7 to advise the nation to vote in the forthcoming referendum to keep Britain in the common market. March 19, 1932. Sydney Harbour Bridge was opened. It was the world's longest single-span arch bridge. On this day last year, astronomers confirmed they were 99.9% certain strange lights spotted over California were due to burning space debris from the International Space Station.
Apprentice Award joy for Caden. A local apprentice was celebrating last week after he was recognised for his efforts with a visit to Holyrood. That's after he received special recognition from a local MSP. Caden Percy is an apprentice at BM Engineering Supplies in Bishopriggs and was last week announced as one of the winners in Pam Gossel's East and West Dunbartonshire Apprenticeship Awards. This was the second consecutive year that Conservative MSP has held these awards, served to recognise some of the talented young apprentice workers, apprentices working in her West Scotland region. She told the Herald, "Apprenticeships are a fantastic way for talented youngsters to kickstart their careers and gain important new skills, and I'm lucky to represent a region with so many great apprentices. It was clear from the nominations I received that apprentices play such an important role in their respective organisations. While I was thrilled to have so many impressive entries, it was very difficult to narrow down the nominations to just three winners, but it's a nice problem to have. After selecting the winners, I was pleased to be able to welcome each apprentice to the Scottish Parliament this week to discuss the great work they're doing in their apprenticeship. It was great to meet Caden in Parliament, along with his manager, Scott Miller, and both his parents, and hear about the fantastic work Caden does, including building full projects with minimal supervision and completing his forklift exams. I would like to thank all the organisations who nominated an apprentice, and I look forward to holding these awards again next year so I can continue to fly the flag for apprenticeships as a fantastic and underrated career pathway. The competition was launched in February, and nominations were closed ahead of Scottish Apprenticeship Week, which was held last week. Local colleges and businesses were encouraged to nominate any apprentice they felt deserved special recognition, with dozens upon dozens of entries received from a wide range of businesses and organisations across many different sectors. Pam considered each entry and narrowed the winners down to just three. Caden Percy of BM Engineering, Bishopriggs, Mark Diamond of Agreco, Dumbarton, and Millie McLeod of BAE Systems, Glasgow. Caden attended a special prize-giving ceremony with Pam in the Scottish Parliament in November, where he was presented with a framed certificate and was able to discuss the great work he carries out in his engineering apprenticeship. Held last week, Scottish Apprenticeship Week serves to shine a spotlight on the benefits that work-based learning brings to people of all ages and backgrounds, employers of all sizes, and the economy. Read by Alan Todd.
Singing groups welcome those living with dementia, as recorded by Hunter MacDonald. A new online map is aiming to show the location of every dementia-inclusive choir in Scotland, and, produced by creative ageing organisation Luminate, the map includes the Songs From Here group from Bishopriggs and the nearby Come and Sing group in Lenzie. Through its dementia-inclusive singing network, Luminate offers resources and training to choirs and singing groups an entry on the map. Morven McIntyre Network Coordinator said that research consistently showed that singing is good for people living with dementia and their carers. Apart from the simple pleasure of singing and responding to music, being part of a community group encourages a sense of well-being, can aid communication and offer structure. I have grown up singing in choirs and I love being surrounded by folk who also love to sing. Working for Luminate, I have taken part in sessions with dementia-friendly singing groups. There was so much joy in the room and it was clear how much each participant felt valued by their peers and song leaders as they sang both new and familiar songs together. Anyone can check the map to find where their local dementia inclusive singing group is located. Each group on the map has evaluated their activities to confirm they work in an inclusive way for people living with dementia. Luminate also wants to add more groups to the map. To add your group or find out more, head to singing.luminatescotland.org. Small businesses urged to tackle cyber security. An innovative security service is set to help protect businesses in Scotland against the increasing menace of cyber attacks. LICETS cyber safety tool has been designed to help prevent businesses falling victim to the 6,500 plus cyber crimes that occur in the UK every day. The tool is powered by the Association of British Insurers, ABI, that built the tool for LICETS based on the latest expertise from the National Cyber Security Centre, NCSC, and from cyber experts among its membership. LICETS Senior Account Executive Lee Musgrove said, "Small businesses are particularly vulnerable and the LICETS cyber safety tool can assist time-constrained company owners in understanding their cyber vulnerabilities and implementing effective protective measures. It's a diagnostic solution that offers a free, comprehensive and tailored set of recommendations to bolster businesses' cyber security. Each incident of cyber crime typically costs businesses £15,300. However, good cyber posture made possible by such products as the cyber safety tool can prevent more than 80% of cyber attacks." Lucy Fraser from ABI added, "Our initial testing showed even seemingly minor cyber issues can leave most businesses, especially small companies that don't have specific IT teams, vulnerable to attack. By using the cyber safety tool, they will be alerted to any existing vulnerabilities and will know what changes they can implement to boost their defences."
Volunteer opportunity. Volunteering opportunities with Carers Link East Dunbartonshire are now available, and the charity is keen to invite interested people to find out more. Now in its 20th year, Carers Link has supported over 6,600 carers of all ages in the local community and provides a range of crucial services ranging from information and practical support to one-to-one support and carer support groups. As well as working with adult carers, the charity offers support to young carers from age 5 to 25. Carers Link work closely with local schools and provide core services that include emotional support, well-being, information and advocacy, holiday breaks and activities. Founded in 2004, 2024 marks the 20th anniversary of Carers Link, looking after unpaid carers in East Dunbartonshire. Chief Executive of Carers Link East Dunbartonshire, Jennifer Rowe, said, "Volunteering offers a great opportunity to meet people, learn new skills, gain confidence and have a positive experience that can enhance well-being by giving time. We offer various roles that might suit graduates, students, people in between jobs, or those returning to work, or anyone with extra time to spare. We ask you to give 1 to 2 hours per week, and training will be provided. Volunteering is a great opportunity to build confidence and to give time to support unpaid carers, children, and adults in the community." Sarah, a Carers Link tech volunteer, is supporting carers to get online and improve technology skills. She helps carers learn about computers, tablets and smartphones via one-to-one sessions, which take place in the carer's home, the Carers Link office or external places like the local library. She works up to 2 hours a week and was trained on Carers Link as an organisation, its people, activities and aims. This included Switched On, the project Tech Buddies work on. She was also given a session on how to use the Carers Link database. She added, "A tech buddy does not require formal IT qualifications. You need to be comfortable with smart technology and be able to pass on those skills to others and be keen to support carers to become digitally confident. The role is a befriending role with a focus of enabling carers to connect with technology, friends, family and other carers. Having been a carer myself, I know how caring responsibilities can leave carers stressed and isolated. Being online and connected helps carers to feel and be in touch with others and helps improve their well-being. Being a part of this is very rewarding. I enjoy getting to know new people and want to use the spare time I have to do something useful and beneficial to others. I enjoy the teaching and learning aspect of being a tech buddy, and I'm learning more about myself and technology in the process. I would encourage others to volunteer. You'll get more out of it than you put in. You'll also meet new people and enhance your skill set. Anyone interested can find further information at the Carers Link website. Access to transcripts. Rona Mackay has welcomed a Scottish Government pilot scheme to improve access to justice, which will enable victims of rape and serious sexual assault to access transcripts from their court cases for free. From March 2024 until March 2025, £100,000 of funding is available to allow complainers who have had their cases heard in the High Court to apply for the transcripts of what was said in their court cases free of charge. Commenting, the Strathkelvin and Bearsden MSP said, the pilot would greatly improve transparency and fairness in the process of achieving retribution. Ms. Mackay told us, I pay tribute to those in my constituency and beyond who have campaigned for greater fairness and accountability in the process of achieving justice, something that can always be improved. The scheme, along with the proposed Victims, Witnesses and Justice Reform Scotland Bill, are designed to improve victims' experience and increase confidence in the justice system. I am pleased to see the SNP government removing barriers to justice for victims of sexual assault, and I encourage all those Strathkelvin and Bearsden who are able to do so to make full use of this pilot fund. The local MSP also welcomed new Scottish Government funding for projects which work with families to reduce obesity and health inequalities to make a tangible difference to the lives of children in the area. 10 projects across Scotland will be allocated this year of £538,141, including NHS Greater Glasgow and Clyde's Thrive Under Fives programme, which will receive £66,000. Ms. Mackay said, childhood obesity has huge lifelong implications for those suffering from it and for our NHS. However, the rising cost of living has exacerbated food insecurity for many families. That is why preventative work and support offered by projects like the Thrive Under Five programme is so important. Ensuring children in my constituency have the best start in life and taking us one step closer to achieving the Scottish Government's ambitious goal of halving childhood obesity by 2030. MSP meets apprentices at local Arnold Clark. Local MSP Rona Mackay praised a group of new local recruits at Arnold Clark at Bishopriggs during a visit last week to celebrate Scottish Apprenticeship Week. The SNP MSP for Strathkelvin and Bearsden said she was impressed with the calibre and enthusiasm of the young people taking the first steps on their career in the automotive industry. Ms. Mackay added, it was great to visit Arnold Clark at Bishopriggs to see at first hand the skills and experience apprentices are gaining there. I had a brilliant chat with these clearly enthusiastic young people and was extremely impressed with their drive and knowledge. They are clearly benefiting from the firm's commitment to the next generation of skills in the industry. Carol Ann McCann, Arnold Clark Group Recruitment Manager, said, apprentices contribute more than just filling skill shortages within a business. Their fresh perspectives can be the driving force behind new innovations and help industries develop as a whole. Under the tutelage of experienced mentors and trainers, our apprentices learn practical skills and get vital hands-on experience, helping them to become the very best in their chosen discipline, be that as mechanics, in engineering or customer service. Chairman of Skills Development Scotland, Frank Mitchell said, Scottish Apprenticeship Week showcases how Scottish apprenticeships contribute to the fabric of Scotland. Apprenticeships are giving back to Scotland by supporting employers deliver economic benefits as well as societal well-being benefits across every part of Scotland. Strong employer endorsement and demand for apprenticeships shows the high value of work-based learning to enable businesses to generate the skills they need to compete now and in the future. Across Scotland, around 40,000 people of all ages, abilities and backgrounds are accessing high-quality jobs and transforming their lives through Scottish apprenticeships. Apprenticeships also contribute by paying taxes, as well as their employers contributing £10 for every £1 spent by the government to help training. It is very clear that apprenticeships play a vital role in meeting economic, environmental and health and well-being challenges and opportunities, helping Scotland to become a fairer, more equal society. Scottish Apprenticeship Week is a nationwide celebration of apprenticeships. It's a time when everyone can promote the benefits of work-based learning to people, employers and Scotland. It aims to shine a spotlight on the benefits that work-based learning brings to people of all ages and backgrounds, employers of all sizes and Scotland's economy. Apprenticeships create the skills every generation needs and every employer wants. This 2024 campaign shows that apprenticeships give people high-quality opportunities. This supports them to achieve their full potential.
Here come the girls. Inspiring mums at Bishop Briggs Housing Development welcome their daughters to work for the day to help nurture the next generation of talent. The International Women's Day visit at the Barrett's Development aimed to show the youngsters what their mums do when they go to work, with the house builder hosting the event to provide a behind-the-scenes look. That's as part of the wider initiative to encourage women to the construction industry by introducing them from a young age. Taking part in the day were Gran and Ross, whose daughter Laura has been with the company for over 10 years, having followed in her mum's footsteps. They were both joined in the day by 10-year-old granddaughter Ava, who they hope one day will follow suit. Senior sales advisor Laura said, "Ava is already considering a career in house building after hearing so much about it from the family. She's extremely lucky to be invited to Barrett events such as this one and has built a lovely relationship with my colleagues and clients. She's extremely artistic and I think she would make an excellent architect, as she's constantly asking questions about how the houses are built and designed. Mum was the reason I joined the industry. We both love working with clients and she knew I'd be perfect for the role. I'd love to do the same for Ava one day and hope she looks up to her mum and Gran for inspiration." Sales Director Anne is celebrating 15 years with the business and loves helping people find their dream homes, and she hopes in the future that Ava may do the same. Sales Director Estelle Sykes was joined by 9-year-old daughter Amber, and Finance Director Susan Craven welcomed daughter Lucy to the event. The three schoolgirls familiarised themselves with some working drawings and show home designs when they visited Beauclere Mews on Saturday morning. For more information on Barrett Homes, West Scotland, visit here. Read by Rebecca.
Help shape HSCP strategy. East Dumbartonshire Health and Social Care Partnership is asking for local input to help shape a new communications, participation and engagement strategy. Initial consultation will take place until March the 31st and copies of the survey are available on request. Chairman of the HSCP, Councillor Callum Smith, said, "The way we communicate and engage with users and communities is vital to the planning, design and delivery of health and social care services in East Dumbartonshire. Please help us help you by taking part in the consultation. I hope as many people as possible can spare 10 minutes to get involved. It's a great opportunity for our communities to help shape services, especially in these challenging times. All feedback and comments received will help to guide and influence the creation of the strategy 2024-29. For more information, visit east-dumbarton.gov.uk/hscp-comms-consult.
Charities funding plea. Long COVID still shattering lives? Report by Julie Curry. Chest, Heart and Stroke Scotland has highlighted the deepening crisis facing the tens of thousands of people across Scotland who are living with long COVID. Sadly, a new report into CHSS survey findings revealed that long-term symptoms are still shattering lives and the NHS is failing to adequately support the 180,000 people across Scotland who are living with long COVID. Some 40% of people living with long COVID are unable to work due to their condition, equating to as many as 72,000 of Scots exiting the labour market. The report also revealed that 82% of people encountered some kind of difficulty in accessing services and 38% said their doctor wasn't able to provide guidance on available support. Almost 2,000 people living with chest, heart and stroke conditions and long COVID in Scotland were surveyed to understand the challenges facing people living with the conditions. The results showed that access to rehabilitation services and the resulting impact on mental health were significant challenges for those living with long COVID, as is the cost of living crisis. Jane Clare Judson, CHSS Chief Executive, said, "COVID is still having a huge impact on 180,000 people in Scotland. These people are living in crisis. Not only are they experiencing a debilitating health condition, many are also facing extreme financial hardship due to their inability to work. Hardship that is compounded by the impact of the cost of living crisis. We need the Scottish Government to consider greater financial support for people living with long COVID who are navigating this economic crisis and provide clarity around access and eligibility for benefits. The Scottish Government's Long COVID Support Fund is now in its final year with no commitment to future funding. Ministers cannot leave people with long COVID to face unemployment in an economic crisis. We urgently need the Scottish Government to review the financial support available and ensure that people can access it. People with long COVID can't wait any longer. They are struggling financially and support from the NHS is patchy at best." Dr. Amy Small, GP and CHSS Clinical Advisor, added, "Doctors are desperate to help people living with long COVID, but, sadly, most health boards don't have the clinical support that is desperately needed. We do have medications that can be used to help treat the symptoms, but many GPs don't have experience of using them and need support from doctors who are used to seeing patients with the complications of long COVID. Among those living with the condition is Crawford Flint, 59, who lives in Linlithgow with his wife, Karen. He gave up work as head of training for an electrical wholesaler in 2019 and became a gardener. He has been living with the symptoms of long COVID since contracting COVID-19 in March 2020 and now cannot work. Describing his experience of being treated for long COVID, Crawford said it's like being sent from pillar to post. He has undergone a battery of tests, including several x-rays, ECGs and CT scans, all of which show him to be healthy, but he's not healthy. He cannot work, and now he relies on a mobility scooter to get about." Crawford said, "The quality of care between health boards is a lottery, and it shouldn't be. GPs often send patients on a wild goose chase, and there is so little understanding of this illness. I was fortunate because my own GP was very sympathetic and did everything possible to help me. If you're living with the effects of long COVID and are looking for advice, contact CHSS's advice line on 0808 801 0899, text nurse to 66777, or email adviceline@chss.org.uk. Common symptoms. More than 180,000 people in Scotland have developed long COVID since 2020, according to a report by the Office for National Statistics. The most common symptoms of long COVID are fatigue, feeling short of breath, loss of smell and muscle aches. However, there are many other symptoms too, including problems with your memory and concentration, brain fog, chest pain, insomnia, heart palpitations, dizziness, pins and needles, joint pain, depression and anxiety, tinnitus, earaches, feeling sick, diarrhea, stomach aches, loss of appetite, a high temperature, cough, headaches, sore throat, changes the sense of smell or taste, and rashes. The NHS advises speaking to your GP initially, who may order tests to rule out other conditions. Visit www.nhs.uk/conditions/COVID-19 for advice. Call for action as A&E waits make for grim reading. New data has revealed that January was the worst month on record for people waiting to be seen in A&E. Figures published by Public Health Scotland show that 41,161 patients, 38%, waited over 4 hours in major emergency departments, a 21% increase on the previous January, 33,962. And 17,077 of patients, 16%, waited 8 hours or more, which is almost 13 times higher than in January 2016, 1,338. Worryingly, 8,402 patients, 8%, waited 12 hours or more, the largest amount for any January since records began, and 36 times higher than in January 2016, 232. In addition, 1,866 beds were occupied due to delayed discharges, an increase of 53 compared to December 2023. The Royal College of Emergency Medicine, the single authoritative body for emergency medicine in the UK, works to ensure high quality care by setting up monitoring standards of care. On the back of the figures, it is now calling for the government to take action. Dr. J.P. Loughrey, Royal College of Emergency Medicine Vice President for Scotland, said, "This is beyond exasperating. Most people attend A&E in desperate need to be seen by a medical professional quickly and with dignity. Already struggling, patients are having to endure overcrowded waiting rooms and corridors for hours. If admission is required, they must wait for a bed for hours. This latest data makes for grim reading, and it is incredibly demoralising for my colleagues to be working under such strenuous circumstances. They are working all out to put patients first, while also having to carry the burden of working in an underfunded, overcrowded and, at times, unsafe emergency care system. We need intervention from the government and policy makers to ensure we never reach this nadir again." In January, there were 108,427 attendances at major emergency departments in Scotland. This is a marginal decrease of 0.25% compared to the previous month. Of those, only 62% of patients were seen within 4 hours, the worst 4-hour performance for any January since records began.
Making a difference. A campaign has been launched by the Scottish Government to support the recruitment of more adult social care workers. Focusing on the difference someone working in adult social care can make to people's lives, You Can Make the Difference also highlights the rewarding relationships that develop. To shine a spotlight on that, a Making the Difference online gallery uses photography to bring stories to life of people working in and supported by the sector. Social Care Minister Marie Todd said, "The online gallery celebrates the rewarding relationships that make such a positive impact on people's lives." To address issues in filling social care vacancies, the government is increasing pay to £12 per hour from April this year. Anyone who thinks they might be a good fit for the job in adult social care should visit www.caretocare.scot.
Mentors share their own road to recovery stories. A new drugs campaign by Fearless has been launched by Minister for Drugs and Alcohol, Christina McKelvey. Centred around the lived experience of peer mentors from criminal justice services, Fearless has produced a video podcast that is being shared to young people across Scotland on Instagram, Snapchat and TikTok. Christina said, "It was a pleasure to support the launch of the awareness campaign. Listening to people with lived experience is instrumental in reducing stigma and helps prevent young people from falling into the same destructive cycle. While there has been positive work to support the recent decline in drug deaths in those aged 25 and under, many people who experience harms from using drugs started their substance use at an early age. Information provided 100% anonymously to Fearless can help break the cycle of drug taking and criminal exploitation. Reflecting on their own personal stories of recovery, the mentors speak about their own journeys and how they now help others through substance misuse and the criminal justice system. Lindsay McDade, National Youth Projects Coordinator for Crime Stoppers Scotland, said, "You only have to talk to young people to quickly realise how much they value authentic voices of experience. That's why it was so important for me to bring our mentors together to discuss their incredible journeys." The video podcast covers really crucial themes, such as the way society can often dehumanise substance users, the exploitation of young people and vulnerable adults by serious organised crime gangs, and a message of hope by highlighting that recovery is possible. If you know or suspect someone who is responsible for the sale or manufacturing of drugs or the exploitation of vulnerable young people or adults, you can speak up 100% anonymously at fearless.org. We can't track your IP address or any contact details. Fearless will also be running outreach events in cities across Scotland this month and publishing a series of substance misuse themed blogs for adults who look after or work with young people. To listen to the podcast, visit the Crime Stoppers website.
Family announcements. Deaths. Kelly. Irene. Peacefully at Whitefield Lodge, Lennoxtown, on March 3rd, 2024. Beloved wife of the late Fred, a much-loved mum, grandma and great-grandma. Funeral service will take place on Friday, March 15th, 2024, at Dal Dowie Crematorium for 9:45 a.m. Family flowers only.
Networks in full bloom with like-minded people. Groups working across Scotland to improve their local communities through climate and nature-friendly activities are being encouraged to join the network of like-minded people. Keep Scotland Beautiful is calling for more groups to join the 250 which are already part of its climate and nature-friendly communities network, working to make their local area a better place to live in and visit. Registration closes on April the 30th for any groups interested in joining, either as a Beautiful Scotland entrant or an It's Your Neighbourhood group. Both are free to take part in. The two initiatives feed into the Royal Horticultural Society's UK-wide Britain in Bloom campaign, as well as benefiting from access to free support and resources, it's a chance to connect with similar groups across the country. Beautiful Scotland and It's Your Neighbourhood are part of Keep Scotland's Beautiful Climate and Nature-Friendly Communities Network. The charity's long-standing environmental improvement initiative encourages community action and is growing a network of people determined to make a positive difference to their local area. As well as restoring biodiversity in local communities, groups are supported, inspired and motivated to spend more time in nature, promoting good physical and mental well-being and a shared goal of improving the places we live, work and visit. In 2023, more than 250 groups registered, from small community allotments to citywide programmes, with the groups and volunteers donating almost 200,000 hours, equating to an economic value of over £2 million. Juliet Camburn, KSB Community Initiative Senior Officer, said, "Our wonderful climate and nature-friendly communities network makes such a positive impact across the country. Not only does the work of all our groups make our country a nice place to visit, live and work, their actions play a huge part in protecting and enhancing biodiversity and in helping to reduce the negative impacts of climate change. We have such a vast and varied network of groups sharing their work and tips. Whether you've been helping your community be beautiful for years or just getting started, come and join us. While shrubs, flowers and trees are an important part of an entry, there is also a significant focus on environmental, biodiversity and climate change issues, such as reducing water use, planting for wildlife and recycling, as well as addressing litter, graffiti and improving vacant properties or sites. Groups who register for It's Your Neighbourhood receive support for their ongoing greening and growing efforts, while Beautiful Scotland has an additional competitive layer with an annual awards ceremony and the opportunity to go forward to the national RHS Britain in Bloom UK finals. Registration for Beautiful Scotland and It's Your Neighbourhood is open until April the 30th. KSB is also looking for new It's Your Neighbourhood assessors and mentors. To find out more or apply, visit www.keepscotlandbeautiful.org.
Wednesday the 13th of March 2024, let's talk Kirkintilloch and Bishop Briggs Herald's letters page. Please send your letters via email to kirkyherald@jnscotland.co.uk. That's kirkyherald@jnscotland.co.uk and write letters in the subject field. Please keep letters to a maximum of 300 words. Letters cannot be published without a name and postal address. Also include a daytime phone number if possible. We reserve the right to edit any letter. The public will pay the price as cops walk away from crimes. Sir, I am appalled at Police Scotland walking away from investigating burglaries and their inability to attend cases of shoplifting promptly, even where the alleged culprit has been apprehended by security staff. This approach may well free up time for officers to attend more serious offences, but it completely ignores the impact of those offences on individuals, on companies, and society. Those who commit these offences will quickly realise there are no consequences, so will commit even more offences. Committing minor offences is the start of the path to more serious offences. So what will the police sow now? They will reap in spades for years to come. But those who pay the price will be the public. MSPs and MPs need to get their act together. Properly fund the police, what happened to the short-lived SNP promise of 1,000 more officers, and ensure prompt justice. The closer the court case to the crime, the greater the chance of conviction and the greater the deterrent effect. And please, please not let's have letters from SNP keyboard warriors saying that there are more officers per 10,000 inhabitants in Scotland than in England. Whether Scottish or English, we don't care. We all want a police service that protects us and a justice service that delivers justice. Yours, etc. Brian Barber, by email. Move gear to SNP government control of the police. Sir, former SNP Justice Secretary Kenny McCaskill did the Scottish Police Service an injustice when he replaced regional forces with a single entity, supposedly to bring about more efficiency and value for money. In reality, it seemed to have been more geared towards allowing the SNP government to exert more influence over chief constables than bringing about a better service for the population. It's now suggested that Police Scotland is a reactive service, underfunded and understaffed, with the welfare of staff under increasing pressure due to intolerable workloads. It's all very well for the current Justice Secretary Angela Constance to say that Police Scotland is in receipt of record funding and that the recorded crime is at one of the lowest levels since 1974. Could it not be that crime victims are failing to report criminal activity because it would be a waste of time and no investigation would ever take place? Yours, etc. Bob McDougall, address supplied. Camper van convertibles could make it bad for Vlad. Sir, So does the SNP really think it's a good time to get rid of Trident submarines from Scotland? Camper vans, mounted with machine guns of course, could be the new primary defence against Vladimir Putin. SNP members, MSPs or staff could use the vans for holidaying if there was no sign of Putin on the horizon, or if the crazed dictator failed to ring and warn of his army's impending arrival. Yours etc. James Hardy, address supplied. NATO dreams of Angus Robertson. Sir, Angus Robertson claims that an SNP government of an independent Scotland would close Faslane yet still be able to join NATO. That's about 8,000 jobs gone and, of course, the removal of a facility used by the US and France as well as the UK. To join NATO would require proof of a minimum £4 billion per annum spend on defence and the agreement of all other member states. Dream on, Angus. Yours etc. E. McCormick. Address supplied. All quiet on the iPad front. Sir, last month, MSP Michael Matheson was granted an extension to the time requested to reply to the findings of the inquiry into his iPad expenses claim. I believe that time has now passed, yet I don't recall seeing any news about the findings. Surely, this is a matter of public interest, whatever the outcome was, or are we seeing another example of SNP openness and transparency? Yours etc. Bruce Proctor by email. Reader's Charter for the Kirkintilloch and Bishopbriggs Herald. This newspaper is built in a tradition of accuracy and fairness, giving you the information you need to understand our world, holding power to account, and exposing injustice. Our trusty brand means we are the only place where you can read and participate in honest debates. We are committed to giving a voice to those who struggle to be heard, as well as those whose profession is crafting an argument. Our Reader's Charter spells out our commitment to you. You can read the charter online at kirkyherald@gnscotland.co.uk.
We need more disability allies. A group of young campaigners backed by Cerebral Palsy Scotland are seeking to challenge stereotypes and bias. The new social media campaign is running throughout March, which is Cerebral Palsy Awareness Month. Through sharing information about cerebral palsy, as well as details of their day-to-day experiences, the campaign's content creators aim to raise awareness that negative attitudes and other barriers in society limit them far more than their disability. Although cerebral palsy is the most common physical disability, the charity believes most people have limited awareness of the condition. Isla Campbell-Lupton, head of communications, said, "We work every day alongside people with cerebral palsy to help them thrive, whether that's through our specialist therapy provision, our mental health support, information services events, and campaigning. Our social media campaign for Cerebral Palsy Awareness Month is all about raising the voices of people with cerebral palsy. Through sharing videos, blogs, and infographics created by people with cerebral palsy and their families, we aim to highlight the diversity of the condition. We hope it opens people's eyes and encourages all of us to be disability allies for accessibility and inclusion." Jack Smith, 28, from Clydebank, and twins Wade Shields and Mary McKendrick, 23, from Kirkcaldy, are taking part in a bid to show the Scottish public that what their lives are really like. Jack said, "I'm a metal artist with my own business. I'm supporting Cerebral Palsy Awareness Month as I want to raise awareness and make people aware that cerebral palsy isn't a disability, it's just a different ability." Wade, who is studying TV and film production at Fife College, said, "I've not seen many people like me in the media standing up and talking about cerebral palsy. I want to change that." Mary, who is also studying at Fife College, specialising in broadcast media, added, "I want to be one of the people who helps to reduce the stigma, because there's still quite a lot of that today, even in 2024. I can do anything that an able-bodied person can do, I just do it in a different way."
A review of Community Right to Buy. It is 20 years since the Community Right to Buy scheme was first founded in Scotland. This summer, the Scottish Government plans to take a fresh look at how effective the current powers are. Since the Land Reform Scotland Act 2003 introduced the first two community rights to buy, there have been several additions and amendments to the rights. Various reports and recommendations on how to improve and amend them further have also been tabled. Rural Affairs Secretary Marie Gudgeon said, "Ownership or control of land and buildings, both urban and rural, is a powerful tool for communities. We want to increase community ownership as an important way of delivering our vision for Scotland." This review will begin in the summer, covering all the current rights to buy and legislative and procedural aspects to see if new legislation is needed.
Some church news on the district news page of the Kirkintilloch Herald. And we begin with St Mary's Parish Church. The service on Sunday, February 18th, will begin at 11 a.m. as usual and be taken by the Reverend Dr. Ruth Morrison. There will be age-appropriate activities for our young people in the halls. Pancake lunch will take place in the church halls after the service. There will be a savoury course followed by sweet pancakes on February the 14th, Wednesday. Welcome will take place when tea, coffee and home baking will be available from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m, followed by a short service taken by the Reverend Dr. Ruth Morrison. Kirkintilloch Church of God. At Regent Hall, Regent on Sunday, there will be a good news service at 4 p.m. The speaker this week will be Rodney Johnson, with an illustrated talk on his recent visit to India. A warm welcome to all. Every Wednesday, our coffee corner is open from noon till 2 p.m. for home baking and coffee. Join our friends and our neighbours for a chat over a coffee. For an up-to-date and further information on our services, visit our website on www.regenthall.org. The Bible says, "The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." And that's found in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 18. And some more news too from St. James Church, Hilton Road, Bishop Briggs. The rector is the Reverend Canon Paul Watson. And his phone number is 0141-230-4080. On Wednesday, February the 14th, Ash Wednesday, there will be a service at 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. with the imposition of ashes. Please note the service on Thursday, February the 15th at 11 a.m. is cancelled. On Saturday, February the 17th, Dads and Kids is held from 10:45 a.m. to noon and is a great chance for dads with young children to get together around some banter, bacon rolls and coffee while the kids play. On Sunday, February 18th, there will be a Sunday club at 10:30 a.m. There is a communion service on Sunday, February 18th, in the chapel at 9 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the church. All welcome. Stay on for tea, coffee and fellowship afterwards. There are also other virtual services and groups for an up-to-date and further information. Refer to our social media, Facebook, St. James LS Bishop Briggs website, www.stjamesbishopbriggs.org.uk. And now to Lindsay Old Parish Church. Sunday worship begins at the church at 11 a.m. A creche is available for children under 3. The Quilt and Craft Group meet every Wednesday, 10 a.m. to noon in the session room. Time out on Monday, February the 19th is Looking Back with Mary Frame at 7:45 in the church hall. Thursday Afternoon Club is on Thursday, February the 15th from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Enjoy tea, coffee and home baking, followed by a game of Scrabble, Dominoes, Rubik's Cube or Uno. If you prefer, you can sit back and chat and or do your own knitting there. There's also books for sale and any donations go to Women's Aid. Scottish Country Dancing is on every Thursday, 7:15 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Come along for fun, fitness and friendship. You'll be made very welcome. Come and sing. The Dementia Singing Group meets on Tuesday, February the 20th at 1:15 p.m. in the church hall a warm welcome awaits all, and of course a cuppa and some delicious home baking. Please feel free to come and sing. Now to Lenzie Union Parish Church, Sunday the service is at 11 a.m. and will be led by the Reverend Dan Carmichael. Young people are also welcome to Lighthouse and Bible class. A live stream of the service is available on YouTube via our website. The meeting place opens for tea, coffee and home baking every Wednesday at 10 a.m. till noon. In the new hall, everyone from the very young to the young at heart is welcome to attend. We also have a good selection of greeting cards and second-hand books for sale. Youth Cafe is on Thursdays between 3:45 p.m. to 5 p.m., a place where young people can hang out and relax and have a good time after a long day at school. Each week there is a free snack with lots of different things to do, such as games, consoles, table tennis, arts and crafts, board games and more. The coffee pot is open on Fridays at 10 a.m. till noon in the new hall for teas, coffee and chat. Lenzie Loves Lego on Saturday, February the 17th from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. in Lenzie Union New Hall. Build what you fancy. Please bring an adult. Watch a short Lego video. Coffee, tea, juice, biscuits provided. Silver Movers Dance Exercise takes place at 1:30 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. in the Old Hall on the first and third Monday of each month. Come and dance, relax and enjoy. Contact Claire on 07789-425-547 or email alpha.lenzie@gmail.com. Church news here from Kenmure Parish Church. Don't forget, Messy Breakfast starts at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning, a time of videos, games and of course breakfast for the children. Please note that an adult must remain with the child. Alison and Bruce Keith will lead our worship at 11 a.m, which will include a baptism. You're welcome to join us, both in church and on our YouTube channel. The service on YouTube can be watched live as it is streamed or later at a time that suits you. You can find our channel by simply searching for Kenmure Bishop Briggs on YouTube. Teas and coffees and the time of fellowship follows the end of the church service. The most up-to-date details of all our groups and that are currently running may be found on our website, kenmure-church.co.uk. To find us on Facebook, just search for Kenmure Parish Church. If you'd like to join on the WhatsApp group or receive the Bible studies from ABC, then email us at kenmurechurch@icloud.com. Home Church Scotland is on Lammermuir Road, Kirkintilloch, G66-2AB. Home Church Kirkintilloch, Home Church East End, Carmichael, in G32-8DP and online at Church for All Ages. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. And that's in Psalm 85:5. Sunday, February 18th, 9:30 a.m, prayer meeting followed by refreshments at 11 a.m. The worship service will be followed by more refreshments and a warm welcome awaits you. And also at Home Church in Carmichael, 10 a.m. and 6:30 p.m. Tuesdays is Engine Room at 9:30 a.m. Home Groups, Tuesday. Bible Study on Zoom, Wednesdays, now called Boiler Room, in church at 7:15 p.m. and on all social media platforms. Craft and Coffee Fridays at 10 a.m. Youth Group Fridays at 7:30 p.m. Prayer Meeting Fridays at 7:30 p.m. Home Radio is available every day. Encounter Conference is on Friday, February the 23rd to Saturday the 24th, and it's a free event. See Facebook, Instagram and Home Church website for the latest information for Carmichael Church and Kirkintilloch Church. Colston Well Park Church. Colston Church is open to all, so feel free to join us this Sunday for our morning service at 11 a.m, led by the Reverend Malcolm Cumberson. You are invited to join us for tea, coffee and conversation after the service. This Monday, the Art Club continues from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And anyone and everyone who's enthusiastic about art, why not pop in or phone Ramsay on 07709 584 680. The Colston Tea Break, our community drop-in, continues every Wednesday from 11 till 12:30 p.m. And enjoy good food, good chat and good company. And it's free. The food bank continues its essential work within the community and is open every Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. and 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. To all who assist and continually donate foodstuffs, we give our sincere thanks. And then to Springfield, Cambridge. Morning worship on Sunday, February the 18th, will be conducted by the Reverend Ian Taylor, assisted by our assistant minister, Mrs. Julia Harty, in the sanctuary at 11 a.m. Tea and coffee will be served in the Cameron Hall, and after morning worship, come along and enjoy the fellowship. No collection is taken during the service, so donations can be made by placing them in the offering plates in the Hall of Fellowship as you enter or leave the building. The Sunday School meets in Room 2, where creche facilities are also available. Morning worship is also being live-streamed on the Springfield Cambridge Church YouTube channel. A link to this can be found on the Springfield Cambridge Church website, www.springfieldcambridge.org.uk, and Facebook page, where up-to-date information about events and church organisations can also be found. There will be a vestry hour on Wednesday, February the 14th, from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for anyone who would like to speak with the minister. There will be a short weekly service of worship in the Springfield Chapel on Wednesday, February the 14th, from 11:10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m., followed by tea and coffee in the Hall of Fellowship. The latest edition of the Springfield Cambridge Record is now available online. The annual fundraising quiz and fish supper night will take place on Saturday, March the 2nd, and tickets will be available in the Hall of Fellowship and on Sundays, February 18th and 25th, before and after the service. Milton of Campsie Church. We meet for worship on Sunday, February the 18th at 11 a.m. All the children's and youth groups meet as normal. Now into Lent, we'll focus on the Passover. Please send us a photo of yourself with something from the Passover table, a boiled egg or a cedar plate, red juice, herbs, unleavened bread, or a biscuit. Also on Sunday, we will visit the care homes. Meet outside Kintyre Home at 2:30 p.m. February's charity of the month is Interserve, bringing the good news of Jesus to Asia. Baby and toddler groups, hobbies, clubs, and badminton meet on Monday. Cathy Connect is on Tuesday morning at 9:30 a.m. On Wednesday at 7 p.m, we meet for a time to pray in the Eric Liddell. Come when you can, leave when you must. Also on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m, the Guild will meet for a talk on forensic investigation. On Friday, the BB Anchor and Junior sections meet at 6:15. Posters and invitations are now ready for Go Mad Extra on Sunday, February the 25th, from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. It will be a busy 2 hours. Register with Jot Form. Cawdor Parish Church, we look forward to welcoming you this coming Sunday for our morning service. The service will be led by the Reverend John McGregor and Chris Gordon, who is a probationer minister. The music is led by Javier Jose Esendo Mali. Also, all are welcome. Tea and coffee served after both services. Food bank, if you wish to donate to the local food bank, you can bring your donations of food to the church or the coffee shop. Early fellowship meets in person in the South Hall Chapel at 9:30 a.m. on Tuesday and Thursday and on Zoom. Cawdor Cafe Shop, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. and Friday 10 to noon. The final winter warm for this session is on Friday, February the 16th at 1:30 in the South Hall Coffee Shop. All are welcome. Men's Club, South Hall Chapel, Tuesday, February the 20th at 1:15 for lunch at the coffee shop, 2 to 2:15 for meeting. Calder Messy Plays restart Tuesday, February the 20th and Thursday, February the 22nd in the South Hall, 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. The next meeting of the Guild is on Thursday, February the 15th in the South Halls at 7 p.m. Our speaker is Ruth Box from Chocolate Heaven, the last of this block of projects. Our fundraiser for our projects is Taylor Fashions and is on Thursday, February 29th. Tickets are now on sale. We are the host for the Bishop Briggs World Day of Prayer meeting, which is in our South Halls on Friday, March the 1st at 10:30 a.m. Climate Change Conference Saturday, March the 9th from 10 to 1 p.m. at Corder Church South Halls. 92nd Glasgow Company of the Girls Brigade meet on Tuesdays. Explorers Primary 1 to Primary 3 at 6:15 to 7:30 p.m. Juniors P4 to P7, 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. Brigadiers S1 to S6, 7:30 to 9 p.m. And the 212 Boys Brigade Anchor Boys P1 to 3, Monday 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Junior section also meets on Monday at 7:30 p.m. to 8:30. Company Senior section Primary 5 to S6, Friday 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Please see our website, www.corderchurch.org, for more information. And that's the church news for this week.
Wednesday the 13th of March, District News General. Kirkintilloken District Society of Antiquities. On Thursday, March the 7th, the Antiquities heard an excellent presentation from James Mearns on what the Romans did for Glasgow Archaeological Society. Jim is a retired civil servant who had been involved with Glasgow Archaeological Society since participating in excavations on Bar Hill as a student in the 1970s. He was president during the sesquicentennial 150th year in 2006 and for the last 10 years has been the Society's archivist and editor of its publication, the Scottish Archaeological Journal. Jim described the history of the Society since its foundation in 1856. Many eminent Victorian citizens were members, including Lord Kelvin, Miss Cranston and the publisher William Blackie. The Society's activities included meetings and excursions to sites of archaeological interest. There is a strong connection with Kirkintilloch, as one of the Society's honorary secretaries during the late 19th century was James D.J. Dalrymple. The Dalrymples were prominent in Kirkintilloch and the family plot is in the Old Isle Cemetery. The Roman connection, of course, comes through the Antonine Wall, which is well preserved in the Kirkintilloch area. The Society has conducted a number of excavations on sites along the wall over the years and Jim described the results of digs at Balmulde, Cadder and Bar Hill. The Society published The Antonine Wall, a handbook to Scotland's Roman frontier, in 1960, written by Society member Anne S. Robertson, Professor of Roman Archaeology at Glasgow University, this quickly became the essential guide to the wall. It has been revised and updated 6 times, with the latest edition published in 2015. Other Society publications include Archaeology Around Glasgow by Susan Hothersall, 2006, and Reports on Individual Sites. Jim's presentation was enjoyed by a large audience and was followed by a lively question and answer session. We were delighted to renew the long-standing connection between the Antiquities and Glasgow Archaeological Society. Horticultural Society. Members of the Kirkintilloch Horticultural Society met in February when they enjoyed their annual dinner at the Broadcroft Hotel. The next meeting takes place at the Enterprise House on Thursday, March 21st, from 7:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. The speaker will be Bob Robertson from the Scottish Begonia Society, who will give a talk on growing hydroponically. This is a method of growing plants without soil, but using water-based mineral solutions, and can be carried out all year round. There will also be an informal spring flower show. Classes are 1. A flowering plant, 2. A container of hyacinths, 3. A container of crocuses, 4. A container of narcissi / daffodils, 5. A container of tulips, 6. A container of cacti or other succulents, 7. A container of living plants arranged for effect, 8. A container of primula / polyanthus, and 9. A container of spring cut flowers. New members are welcome on the night, or for more information about the society, please contact Paul Malcolm on 0141 578 1520 or visit our website www.kirkintilloch.org.uk. Marie Curie Day of Reflection. Members from What Run Cycle East in Bartonshire took a moment out of their day to think about the loved ones lost during the pandemic and spend time with others as part of Marie Curie's Day of Reflection on March 3rd. 40 people took part in an hour's walk to and from Glasgow Hospice. It was the End of Life Charity's fourth day of reflection, as well as remembering everyone who died during the pandemic, regardless of the cause. The aim of the day is to support the bereaved and help connect families, friends, colleagues and communities. Loved ones paused for reflection and wrote the name of those they were remembering on a special Marie Curie petal before returning to the hospice for refreshments. Heart of the Matter. Taking Care of Your Feet is Essential by Dr. Frank Dunn. Max Bygraves. Now there is a name to conjure. One of his biggest hits was entitled You Need Hands. May I suggest that feet are equally important? Only those who have had to have the removal of their toes know how vital they are for walking in balance. I have had a number of challenges in relation to my feet in recent years and have been the beneficiary of excellent podiatric care over time. My earliest memory of foot problems came at around the age of 11. I was helping at the school fete and became aware of itchiness and burning between my toes. I ran home thinking my toes were going to go on fire. Athlete's foot was diagnosed and the pesky fungus was suitably dealt with. The only crumb of comfort was being considered an athlete. My large toes have also been a challenge because they have ingrown toenails. This has required either treatment from podiatrists. The recommendation a few years ago was to remove the toenails, however, I was still recovering from a hip replacement and the hip surgeon advised delaying the toenail removal for 6 months. This we did, and here we still are, toenails intact but still misshapen. The expert care of my podiatrist has allowed me to retain my aberrant toenails. Talking about taking cold feet, my other major foot issue is chilblains. My feet are very sensitive to cold weather, and chilblains have become a regular and painful occurrence. These have been lessened by a very basic measure, bed socks. As for specific measures, an ointment stick called Snowfire proved very effective until it became available online. I then turned on advice to Balmosa ointment, which also went online. I now use witch hazel, which is easy to get and seems effective. The most important message is to have footwear which is tailored to our feet. Any, even slightly narrow shoes, results for me in troublesome corns and worsening ingrown nails. Time spent being fitted with the shoes is the best investment we can make. Finally, daily foot creams are essential. This was also a problem for me, but has been abolished by CCS Cream, which although not cheap, is available in most pharmacies. If you are lucky, you might get a reduction if you buy two. I think I have said quite enough about my big pieces of meat. There will be no further update for 5 years. And that was The Heart of the Matter by Dr. Frank Dunn.
Rob Roy lifted by form in the cups. An article written by Brian Yule and read by me, Corey. Kirkintilloch Rob Roy boss Danny Ferry believes the momentum from his side's good cup form will help in the fight against regulation. Rob Roy reached the fourth round of the WOS Cup and faced Cumbernauld Colts in the semi-final of the South Region Challenge Cup later this month. In the league, they currently sit 3 points and one place above the relegation zone, following a 1-1 draw home to Glen Afton on Saturday. Ferry told the SM Media West of Scotland football show, "Our cup form has been really good. I know we've had some inconsistencies, but results are definitely, they're going the right direction now, and we've got to try and maintain that. I think in the teams there's not massive difference, but the good players do the same thing well more often, and that's the type of level we're trying to achieve. A big factor is that we've got a lot of home games left. Cumbernauld has been good for us. The players like playing there, and we've had some good results. But this league can be open, everybody's proven they're capable of beating everybody else. On the day, sometimes it's just up to who wants to perform. I apologise for how those quotes are read, but that is how it has been written. WOS results. Premier Division, Kirkintilloch, Rob Roy 1, Glen Afton Athletic 1. First Division, Shotts Bon Accord 2, Petershill 0. Drumchapel United 2, Ashfield 0. Ashfield 2, Thornywood United 3. Second Division, Caledonian Locomotives 3, Larkhall Thistle 0. Fourth Wanderers 2, Glasgow Perthshire 1. Third Division, Lanark United 3, 1 West Park United. Fourth Division, Rossville 1, Giffnock 0. SWF Championship, Ayr United 1, Rossville 2. Fixtures, Saturday, Irvine Meadle 6 versus Kirkintilloch Rob Roy. Kilwinning Rangers versus Ashfield. Yoker Athletic versus Caledonian Locomotives. Glasgow Perthshire versus Glasgow University. West Park United versus Port Glasgow Juniors. Lugar Boswell Thistle versus Rossville. Sunday, Hearts v Glasgow City. That article was written by Brian Yule and read by me, Corey. Brothers win contract from Care Home Fitness. An article written by Brian Yule and read by me, Corey. Burns Gym won a contract from North Lanarkshire Council to deliver their virtual fitness programme to care homes. The programme kicked off at the beginning of February and is already helping to enhance the well-being of care home residents. North Lanarkshire brothers Joe and Tony Burns, Scotland's Personal Trainers of the Year in 2021 and 2022, were delighted to be awarded the contract. Joe said, "We understand the importance of cross-sectoral working and are delighted to be delivering an inclusive programme to residents in the North Lanarkshire area. Of course, it makes it even more special that we come from this area ourselves." Residents from the 27 care homes under the council's umbrella join the brothers every Friday morning for exercise sessions filled with music, fun and camaraderie. Tony added, "We are passionate about the work we do and always look to incorporate the latest research to ensure the people we support get the best possible service. A lot of education, hard work and planning goes into our programme. But as soon as the class starts, it's all fun, good energy and laughs to ensure we get the maximum engagement from everyone. Angela Price, Independent Sector Lead for NL Scottish Care, was captivated by Joe and Tony's dedication to making exercise enjoyable and accessible for all at a Scottish Care Conference. Encouraged by her colleague, Tricia Chalmers, Angela initiated discussions that led to this collaboration. Angela said, after reviewing their website and social media profiles, I reached out to Burns Gym and invited them to a care home manager's meeting. The positive response from attendees, including NHS colleagues, encouraging us to recommend the proposed exercise classes to the council for all care homes in the area. I was thrilled to hear the news that their proposal was successful. The NHS care home liaison team played an integral role in supporting the programme's implementation. Lizzie Munro, team lead from Lanarkshire, said, "We have had very positive feedback from all involved and hope we can continue to support care home staff to give residents the best possible experiences and opportunities." That article was written by Brian Yule and read by me, Cody. Worrell hungry for Tigers' success. An article written by Phil Lanning and read by me, Cody. With just under a month to go before the start of the season, new Glasgow Tigers signing Steve Worrell says he has the hunger to make an impact at Ashfield Stadium. The current British Championship runner-up said, "I know a lot of the people at Glasgow, plus the teammates are also similar to who I've ridden with in the past. The whole environment makes racing a lot easier, but hopefully the changes will be for the better. I'm looking forward to being at Glasgow. It's a fresh start. I wouldn't still be racing unless I thought I could take an extra step and go up a level. I have to knuckle down and I still feel I've got a lot to give while I'm out of track. The goals are the same as they've always been. It's about trying to get to the top. The hunger is still there. I just like going about my business quietly. I turn up, get my head down, do my job. I don't like making a fuss or causing a scene. I just plod along. It gets noticed by some people, but I don't have to go shouting from the rooftops. As I'm getting older, I'm getting a bit wiser to different things, to what goes on in life and in the sport. I'm growing a bit of a backbone, I would say. I am becoming a bit more stubborn. It all depends on your character. Maybe if I was more open and out there and used my mouth a bit more, I might be a bit higher up. But you can't change who you are. You can't fake it. That's just me." The season starts away to Edinburgh Monarchs in the BSN series on April 5th. That article was written by Phil Lanning and read by me, Corey.
That concludes this week's edition of the Crickenfield Herald podcast. Please remember to subscribe to our channels at Tune Review and to tell your friends about our service.